Welcome back to Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway. I'm Dylan Lancho, and thank you once again for pressing play at riversidespeedway.ca or clicking download on iTunes. If you listen on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, click that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. Well, the IWK 250 is in the books, and man, what a weekend, starting with the Matt Minglewood Band at the tailgate party to Cassius Clark crossing the start-finish line on Saturday night. It was jam-packed. Thank you if you grabbed a seat all weekend. It was a great weekend, beautiful weather, a little humid, but beautiful sunshine. Corey Hall, Matt Fawn, and Cassius Clark all found victory lane during the weekend. After the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, I caught up with Cassius Clark at the start-finish line to talk about his dominating performance. I also got to chat with Kenny Wallace after his top 10 and Donald Chisholm after his top 5. We're going to hear from them in just a moment, but first, I caught up with a maritime racing legend returning to Riverside International Speedway. Let's see what Frank Fraser had to say after the Henry's Auto Pro 100. The Henry's Auto Pro 100 is wrapped up, and I am speaking with a guy who raced here 50 years ago. He's already been on Victory Laps once. Frank Fraser, was a heck of a race, and looks like you landed yourself a top 10. I mean, what a crazy finish. There was side-by-side wrecks and a little bit of everything.
It was. I missed seeing most of it. I was part of the first spin down there the last lap, and I think they gave me a favor because I was right behind the 99. And he got wrecked bad up here, so I probably missed that one because I got spun down there. So it was one of them deals. My car was basically as quick as pretty well everybody out there, but not fast enough to go from the back to the front. And then I got spun by the six car, him being stupid. And that put me at the back, and I never got a chance to gain it back.
I mean, you had a little bit of everything you just mentioned. Brad Eddy made contact with you. You were running in the top 10 at that point. You were sent back. Looked like you were maybe kind of scoping out what was going on. And by the end, I mean, you landed the top 10.
We finished the race. I still feel good. You know, I'm not beat up and tired or nothing. So that's kind of nice. And the car is, well, don't look it. It's pretty well basically in one piece. So I can fix the rest of it. So anyway, I guess we'll say it was a successful evening. And yeah, you know, anytime a 75-year-old can go out and finish 100 laps, I guess we won anyway, didn't we?
Oh, for sure. And you got some of the handyman's best friend on the trunk holding everything down. Red Green came in handy tonight after getting caught up in a little wreck.
I got a crew there that worked with Scott for years and worked with me, and they're about as good with super tape as I've ever seen.
And maybe a little Gorilla tape?
A little bit of Gorilla tape, but we also have what we call, we had a spoiler that when we got wrecked, we'd tie the spoiler on the back and we got wrecked bad. They were looking for that, but I made the mistake. I took it. It was in the trailer until 2 weeks ago, and I took it out. So we called it our crash spoiler. But they probably would have had that taped on too if it had been here.
And right before we got going, you got to take an old modified out, the 134 car, Heart of a Champions, launching their vintage racing series in 2020. I mean, that was a lot of fun, probably driving that low, eh?
It was quite an experience, you know. I've driven a little bit of everything over my life, but I would have liked it more. It would have been better. I could have done a better job. I should have took and tested in the car before, the day or two before, got used to the steering and the brakes, and then maybe I could have put on a couple blistered laps. But as it was, I didn't want to look stupid and park it.
It was loud.
That was loud.
So compared to 50 years ago when you won a couple of races, 50 years now in 2019, I mean, things have changed a lot, and just the maritime racing scene has grown. This track has changed. Overall thoughts coming back here tonight?
I just thought it was neat. You know, I was here. I wasn't sure. I had to call Joan Rui to see, but I wasn't sure if I was here the first race. I knew I was here the first year. She told me I was here the first race and I had won. And so then that made up my mind that I got to go back. I'll put it this way. I hope they don't expect me to be back after 50 more.
Maybe 52, 53, we'll see. And who do you want to thank here helping you out get a top 10 here tonight?
Well, my son, Frankie, he's been working hard on the car. Derek Clark's been working hard. Curtis Lindsay, who always worked with Scott and me before he was here. John Barr, who worked with me for years ago and hasn't been around racing for a long while, he came down and got on the team. Mike Pellerine was here and his son. Those are people that have been with me from back in the 70s up until now. And uh, I you know, I had a good crew here tonight. I had a pro stock crew and Frankie and Curtis and Derek and these guys. So, and Spock and Wise and everything. I couldn't ask for anything more. And they support me, and they got more faith in me than I do. And so, but and it's just fun, and it's nice to be able to do half decent, you know, so they had a good time.
Well, a lot of the cars are beat up. I mean, some worse wear than others. Yours looking not as pretty as when we started, but you come out top 10. Great run, Frank.
Okay, well, I thank you very much, and I hope tomorrow goes just as well and just as good a finish as today.
Standing here in victory lane after the IWK 250, Cassius Clark crossing the start-finish line first. What a win. What a dominating performance tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that was a goal all weekend, you know, with the troubles we went through last year. We had one goal, one agenda, and that was to come back and win. And, you know, when we unloaded Thursday night, you know, we knew the car was good. We were fastest in practice and then in all the practices today. So we knew we had a pretty good hot rod and was able to get to the front there. And we wanted to dictate the pace of the race and try to have those guys chase us and burn some of their stuff up because we knew our car was so good on the long run. So we were able to execute that.
Did your heart flutter a little bit with the red flag with about, you know, 9 to go?
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And we had a little trouble with the car bottoming out for a few laps on the restart there. And Jonathan's been on hot streak. So I haven't really raced much this year. This was my third or fourth race. And on the first time on these tires here. So I was hoping I wasn't going to be rusty. But we were able to pull through. And the car was just, you know, on rails. So when we got clear of him, we were able to pull away a little bit.
How special is it to win a race for Rolly McDonald?
No, awesome. I've been driving for Rolly since 2012. He got hurt in his dump truck and hired Andrew Hicken there to be his crew chief. And me and Andrew were good buddies when we lived down south together, down in North Carolina. And he called me up, wanted to know if I'd want to run Rolly's cars. And I knew Rolly from when we were competitors against each other and knew it would be first-class stuff. And been with him ever since.
And how good does it feel to get this win after everything that happened last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I thought about a lot, daily almost, you know, throughout the year. Just really irked me for, what we got thrown out for there. Just really, really rubbed me the wrong way the more I thought about it and everything. So I definitely, I had a little extra pep in my step for this weekend.
See, money showed it. Cassius Clark winning the IWK 250. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So it's after the IWK 250, top 10 run for Kenny Wallace. He's eating a sandwich right now and trying to cool off here.
Lobster, baby. It's
lobster.
Yes.
How was the racing tonight? I know it's not a win, but it was a great day of racing.
Man, I'll tell you what, I had a blast. I mean, I truly did. We competed hard. We grinded it out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Got lifted in the rear a couple times, got sideways, everybody getting in each other. I think we finished eighth or ninth, got down a lap. My car was just tighter this year. I couldn't get the front end a turn, but hey, I had a blast, man. It was damn awesome.
Blast back here in the Maritimes.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, hey, I always tell the people, you know, the label that anybody wants is a racer, and I'm a racer. You know what I mean? It's not called winning. You don't go winning, you know? So, last time we run third, this time we run ninth. You know, we're raising money for the kids. And you know, what I'm at peace with, I just jump in a strange man's car. and I'm competitive, you know, so that's hard to do. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Any words to any fans that are listening that were at the IWK 250, anything you want to say to them?
I just want to thank all these fans for packing the grandstands every damn IWK 250. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't think you fit another person in here, and the racing was fantastic. So I just want to thank all the fans for showing up every year. There are racetracks all around the world that would envy this crowd. So thank you so much for showing up.
Top 10 for Kenny Wallace, and he's got a lobster sandwich to boot here. Wrapping up, Kenny, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. You do good.
Post-race here at the IWK 250, and a great finish for Donald Chisholm, driving the number 88 tonight in honor of your father, and had the early lead going on, and just Cassius Clark had the car to beat tonight.
Yeah, Cassius was real solid all weekend, and I actually thought today he'd be one of the guys you'd have to beat to win this thing. Car was good. We were good the first half. I thought we were going to be a little better the second half. So you never know if you got better and maybe the others got better again. But car was a little snug through the middle, which made it a little free off. But good night. Finished fourth in the 250. Solid night.
And your car had a special paint scheme tonight in honor of your father as well.
Yeah, kind of a throwback to one of his older, 1971 Ford Holman Moody Ford bosses. So just a bit to honor and a bit to celebrate the 50 years and kind of a throwback scheme to the days of the past.
And what did it mean for all the fans? I mean, packed house here, standing room only, fans celebrating 50 years of racing here at Riverside in the IWK 250.
Yeah, no, we, like I said, we're real proud. Can't thank everybody enough for 50 years of support. And I think they saw a pretty good show. And like I say, I don't know if it's the event growing, if it was the 50th anniversary or what brought the good crowd. It doesn't matter. We're happy everybody came. Just want to thank everybody for 50 years of support, and I know Dad would be awful proud if he was here tonight looking at the crowd.
He had the best seat in the house tonight watching Donald. Thank you so much for being part of taking part of the Victory Labs here. Great finish, and thank you for keeping the legacy running of the Chisholm name and running Riverside.
No, appreciate everybody coming, and see if we can do it for 50 more years.
The next race weekend on the horizon is the Bumper to Bumper 300 weekend, and not only will you see mini stocks, sportsmen, and Pinty's cars on the track, you're going to see some pretty sweet hot rods with the Rev It Up at Riverside Show and Shine. Now, the Show and Shine will run from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. during qualifying and practice for the Bumper to Bumper 300. It is open to all motorized four-wheeled vehicles at least 30 years old, and motorized special interest pieces. If you're looking for registration details, you can find it at riversidespeedway.ca. There will also be a fan favorite award and promoter's choice award, and the winners will also be able to participate in an on-track parade lap prior to the Bumper to Bumper 300. That's also where we are going to present the hardware for the Rev It Up at Riverside Show and Shine. Spectator details, absolutely free to attend. Again, more information at riversidespeedway.ca. NASCAR's only stop in the Maritimes will feature three of Canada's best. We're going to hear from two-time champion DJ Kennington, last year's champion and defending Bumper to Bumper 300 winner LP Dumoulin. First, let's catch up with a Canadian racer who's done it all. Alex Tagliani is on Victory Laps. He is a pole sitter at the Indy 500. He is the driver of the number 18 Rona EpiPen Chevy, and he's looking to collect another win at Riverside International Speedway. My pleasure chatting with Alex Tagliani. Alex, how are you this evening?
Yeah, very good. You?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's been pretty nice weather here in Nova Scotia, and I got to say congratulations on your win on the streets in Toronto recently.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm happy to hear that you guys have some good weather coming out from a really, really, really tough winter. It's been, I never seen this much snow in my life in Montreal. So I think I went to test on the 5th of May in Mossport prior to the season, and I had still about 30 inches of snow in my backyard. So I was, on that note, when we raced on a Victoria Day weekend, the first race in Mossport, we had 2 days of sun, and it was like beautiful. And we had, I think we had 45,000 people there. And I think it's just because all Canadians were so tired of the crazy winter. As soon as they saw a few days of sun, they all came out, camp out, RVs, fifth wheel. The site was full, and it was nice to see. So we were all desperate from good weather.
Race fans don't like the S word, and we don't like the R word. How has your 2019 season been so far, Alex?
It's been all right. I think, you know, if you want to go in detail, I would say that we can't complain because we're sitting fourth in the championship, 40-some points behind with 288 points to grab for the rest of the year. So still, you know, in the running. You know, the weakness of our car seems to be on the oval. We have a pair of top five early on. We have a sixth place finish. But the new general tire switch to this year and some of the things we've done to our car has affecting us, you know, I don't know, maybe a lot more than some other teams, or we were totally on the opposite last year. I mean, we've seen teams resurfacing this year, and where last year they were struggling, but we are used to be fighting for a top three, you know, every weekend, and we're now struggling to be fifth. You know, like when we're fifth, we're like, oh my God, we celebrated a good race. Our oval program is not, you know, it's good, but because we're a good team. But the three cars that we're running in our team, we're all drivers are all either fifth, sixth, seventh, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth. We're always up there, you know, and we're not content from that. So we just, if we can get out of what the car is doing balance-wise and, you know, some of the weaknesses that we have around the track with the new tires and what the car does in essence, I think we will be very strong because we know we could be strong and we just lack, you know, that raw last edge of performance that we need to be just running in the front on the oval. That pretty much sums up, you know, where we are in 2019. Contrary to the road course, where in 2016 I won three ovals, pretty much dominating ovals, and we were nowhere. In 2016, the road course program we had was no good. I couldn't compete, and so we switched it. And 2018, we basically put the two programs together, and we were able to fight for the championship until the last race of the year. But this year we got a big, big issue with our car and our new tires. So it's up to us to make it better.
Riverside is a track you've never won at. You've had some bad luck. 2016, you're leading. Mark Dilley spins. He hits you. What do you have to do to get this win at the Bumper to Bumper 300, Alex?
Yeah, first of all, amazing track. We love to be there. And you know, just the feeling of driving the car there, you know, the compression, the heavy banks, the really tight, sharp corner, pretty challenging track. And it always brings, you know, like a lot of action for the fans. So restarts are you know, very important. Track position, degradation on the tire, and tire management is very important. Like you said, 2016, we were lapping the entire field. We were up to lap the fourth and fifth place car, and these guys touched. And I just went down the bottom, and Mark Dilley's car rolled back and basically took the rear end of our car. It was really unfortunate because we were very, very strong. So basically a bit of luck, yes. For 2019, the biggest thing for us to try to win a race or to try to win that race, it's going to take a bit of work, and we need to approach the racing day with a car that's going to be fairly decent right off the bat, off the trailer, and then fine-tune it and fix some of the issues that we felt like, you know, since the beginning of the season on oval tracks. And if we can do that, and I want the team to do it, if we do that, then put ourselves in a position to contend, and then we can, you know, try to win it.
Can you compare Riverside International Speedway to any other track you've raced on? You raced all over the world. Is there anything like it?
I would say that, you know, there's a corner in St. Louis at Gateway on the old track that, or even Texas, that is fairly banked with, you know, a fair amount of radius in the corner. So when you approach the corner, you go from, you know, like normal banking to you're diving down into a heavy bank. Aggressively, the car changes, you know, surface angle, and also it loses all that banking right out the top when you're exiting, and you can only retrieve what Riverside feels when you're tightening up the radius of the corner. When you have a ton of banking, like in Fontana Speedway or Daytona, it's not the same as Riverside because the radius of the corner is so long and so wide that, yes, there's heavy banking, but you don't feel that heavy compression aggressively, and then you don't feel the loss of banking on the way out because, you know, the radius of the corner is too wide. So you need to, you know, look at, you know, very sharp tracks. So Gateway was a good example. Like, there was one corner that was a lot tighter than another. You know, Chicago Speedway, again, is a bit wider. It's a 1.5 mile, but yeah, those tracks are basically what you could feel. I never drove Bristol. People say that it's a mini Bristol. So, yeah, again, you know, lots of banking, very tight radius, lots of center compression. And it's, you know, I think it's a really challenging track, very challenging. I like it. And, it's, you know, you need to be on top of the wheel when you're in Riverside.
So what can fans expect coming up August 17th? Why should a fan come out to see the Bumper to Bumper 300?
Well, because, you know, the track is the nature of the track, you know, makes it very unique. When you have tire degradation and maybe, you know, your tire management is not as good, you could see cars running up front, but they will go back like dead weight fairly quickly. So, you know, finding out who's going to win the race and knowing who's going to win the race, it has nothing to do with who's leading the race, starting the race. So that's number one. Number two, restarts and track position are so important that you see the aggression on restarts quite a bit, and I think that's what the fans like. We have very competitive cars in the series. A tenth, you know, 2/10 sometimes separates the entire field of 19, 20 cars. So, you know, for those, you know, three reasons, I think makes it for a pretty good show.
Alex Tagliani looking to tackle Riverside International Speedway and get his first win there. Alex, wish you the best of luck. Can't wait to see you coming up in August.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
He is a two-time champion of the NASCAR Pinty Series. He won the Bumper to Bumper 300 last year at Riverside International Speedway. Driver of the number 47 WeatherTech car, LP Dumoulin, joins me on Victory Labs. LP, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Pretty good. You must be pretty happy coming off a win during the Western swing of your series so far this year.
Oh, yeah. We're very proud of that WeatherTech Benmar team. I mean, the Western swing was good for us. We won the first race out there, and then we finished fourth, and then we moved to Edmonton, and then in Edmonton we had a good run. The car was strong, but I think Ranger had a little more than us, and we were not able to capitalize on that one, and the race got cut short 25 laps at the end, so maybe that would have been a really exciting restart, you know, with 25 laps remaining, but it was raining, so here we are. It was a really good swing for us.
Well, as a driver, with rain threading the rest of the race, do you kind of hope it rains, or do you hope for an exciting finish? I'm sure if you're in first, you want to see some rain.
Well, I was P3 with 25 laps remaining, so that would have probably been a 20 laps kind of race at the end of it. So I was inside, and it was a really good position for me to restart. But at the other end, with 20 laps remaining, you never know what's going to happen behind you, and then who would have been really aggressive. And then, you know what, we already had a good swing, and then points were good right where it was. And, you know, we still have 6 races remaining in the Pinty Series this season. So from my point of view, it was like, all right, it was pretty 50-50 for me. I was ready to go, but I was fine with, you know, not damaging the cars and just get going for the next ones, and then keep working really hard at getting more wins.
2019 has been good to you and your team?
It's been good. We had a couple of hiccups at the beginning of the season, but still, all in all, I mean, we're P3 in the championship right now, in the chase for P2, and then the P1 Ranger has got a fair amount of points there, but everything is possible. I'm not wishing bad luck to nobody. I'm just wishing my team a lot of luck on the winning part. I mean, that's what we got to focus on. That's all we have to control, is preparing great cars, preparing fast cars, being able to position ourselves in the winner circle every race weekend, and then that's what's important for me right now. So yeah, it's been good, and we gotta keep working on it.
It's a family business for you. Your father's a legendary driver in Quebec. Your brother races along with you. Do you consider yourself more of a road course ace or an oval ace?
Well, at the beginning, like 2009 or 8, I don't remember my first race in NASCAR series, I was for sure a road course guy. But now I think it's almost been like 10 years that I've done a lot of oval, and then we won championship in 14 and 18. So I think I'm both ways now. I mean, yes, there's some stuff that oval guys that have been doing it since they were in their teenage years that probably still going to have for the rest of their career on us. But I think we keep learning on oval every weekend, and we do well. So, I mean, again, I don't want to take nothing for granted, but I try to do my best on both tracks. And the thing is, you know, on road course, if the car is not great or something's wrong with a setup on the road course, sometimes you're still going to be able to find, you know, a way to get yourself out of trouble. But on the oval, if your car is no good, it's going to be a long night. So You gotta get really good at setup on the oval car, that's for sure.
Let's talk about Riverside, the High Banks, and Antigonish, Nova Scotia. You conquered it last year. You dominated the last part of the race. What do you have to do to win at Riverside?
Well, for me, Antigonish is, again, like, my mom's from New Brunswick, and then it means a lot, you know, every time we go there every year to go race, and it's a great, you know, the fans are awesome. The track is just outstanding. The organization, the Chisholm family that's been, you know, taking care of that, you know, the home of the track and been taking care of it. It's just great every time we go there every year. So, I mean, we won the race last year. I think we have a good setup for that track, but you know how it is. Every year, everybody works on their setup and improves. So I want to do well there. I want to keep being able to do top five podiums. And if we have a shot at a win, that's for sure we're going to work really hard to get it done. But for the driver, Antigonish Riverside is really challenging. You know, like, you never stop. You're always in the banking. It's got a really good banking. So you got to be in shape. You got to be ready for a very tough race because, you know what, it's hard on the body. Especially like last year, we raced during the day there. It was hot. You had to be on top of your game, that's for sure.
So does the weather and the time of day really affect these Pinty's cars? Because with pro stock racers, they say it's literally night and day difference with the cars on track.
Oh, it is. It is. And the car itself and the tire, if the track is rubbered up or not, you know, like lately, unfortunately, 2019 season and the Pinty series been a lot of rain, you know. So on the road course is one thing, you know, we race in the rain, but on the oval, sometimes we rubbered the track up in the morning on practice, and then it rains in the afternoon, and the track changed a lot. So it's been challenging since the beginning of the season to find the right setup, you know, when the track is still green. And during the day is one thing, at night it's another thing. So it's just you know, it's just good for the team to work really hard at being good and being consistently adjusting the car and the situation and the weather change and all that. That proves when your team is good that is able to achieve great stuff, whatever the weather.
How are the new general tires working for all the drivers in the competition for 2019? And what do you think it's going to be like at Riverside?
Well, it's a great tire. I mean, nothing wrong with that tire. It was just it just take a bit of adjustment for the teams to find the right, of course, pressure, but adjustment in the car as well to keep that tire happy. I mean, there's no secret there. The sidewall of the tire is softer, and then the compound on the left side tire on oval is a little softer too. So it's just things that we need to adjust and adapt to, and then I think it's just giving great you know, battles still. So tire wise I mean, it's great. And on road course, actually, the tire is actually a bit better than last year's. I don't know, we found some stuff that we're very happy with right now on the street circuit, and we'll try to keep evolving that setup.
You can make history this year by being the first back-to-back Pinty's champion. What do you got to do to get this done, LP?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think about it, but I go one by one, one race at a time. I mean, again, like at the beginning of the season, we did well, but we had a couple, you know, little things that went didn't go the way we wanted, so I mean, I really want to do it, but honestly, it's so hard to win the championship itself. It's so competitive in that series. The drivers are awesome, and then the teams are awesome, and the series itself is just a great show, and it's tough, man. It's not easy. So just by itself, I mean, with all the respect I have, I mean, yes, I want to win the championship again this season, but I'm very realistic about, I got to go one race at a time. I got to give my best. My team has to give his best every race weekend, and we'll see what ends up being our points towards the end. But right now, we got 6 races remaining, and we just got to keep focusing on the win. And then if it's not a winning day because, you know, it's not perfect, then we got to bring the car back home in the top 5 on the podium. But that's the only thing I got to focus on, and we'll see. If the championship comes back-to-back, that would be more than awesome.
Why should a race fan come out to the Bumper to Bumper 300 at Riverside International Speedway?
Well, wow. It's just one of the greatest oval in Canada. I mean, it's for us, with the kind of cars we have, it suits perfectly to the kind of car we have. And in the kind of competitions we have, you know, with those oval racing we do or short track like that. I mean, with all the banking they have, it's just like a little Bristol kind of deal. I mean, the action is from lap one to the end. So, I mean, the fans are going to be very happy once again this season that they come over, and you'll see a lot of action and a lot of rubbing the fenders, which I hope is just going to be, you know, just rubbing is fine. So I'm sure they're going to see a lot of good racing.
LP Dumoulin looking to make 2 wins at Riverside in his career. LP, can't wait to see you in a few weeks.
Indeed, my friends. You guys have a good one.
He is a 2-time NASCAR Pinty Series champion, a 2-time winner of the Bumper to Bumper 300, driver of the number 17 Castrol Edge Dodge. My pleasure chatting with DJ Kennington. DJ, how are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just driving along here, heading home from the West Coast, and getting ready to get things ready to head out to the East Coast.
How was your little West Coast swing there?
Oh, it was up and down for us. I mean, had a horrible first race in Saskatoon. We had a fuel pump failure, and then finished second in the second one. And then we were running really good at Edmonton, actually lead the race early, and started slowly went away from me, and had a 10th place finish there. So not what we wanted whatsoever, but we found out what went wrong, and we'll go home and get things ready and head to Three Rivers and then head on out there to Riverside and see what we got.
So overall, how has 2019 been for your team?
My team personally has been up and down. You know, we've had lots of speed, just haven't had the consistent finishes that I want. We've had 3 flat tires and just a bunch of stuff go wrong, but that's racing luck, and unfortunately it happens to everybody. And, you know, my other team is doing very well. Andrew Ranger's leading the points and having a great season. So usually the other way around, but we've kind of swapped shoes. So I just got to get my butt in gear and try to get up there and race with them.
And it's been a busy year for you in other series as well. You made the Xfinity start at Daytona back in February. You've already raced a cup race in Martinsville. You're getting a lot of seat time elsewhere, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We run as much as I can down south, and it's just tough. It's all about money and dollars and cents, and I have a blast. I got a lot of friends and met a lot of people down there that put a lot of faith in me, and a lot of sponsors and people that are interested in helping me, and that's what makes it happen. So it's been a dream come true to race down there, and you know, run the Cup Series and so on. Obviously, it's not in the equipment that we'd like to be in, but they're doing the best they can with their equipment, and we go there and do the best we can in it. So it's been a learning experience, and anytime, even when you're getting to be an old guy like me, any seat time is a good time.
What did it mean to you to make your first Daytona 500 start back in 2017? I can say for a fellow Canadian, I was pretty excited.
Yeah, it was crazy. Marty Gaunt and Lord Coe Castrol, I mean, a lot of people were, you know, put their faith in me and put that deal together. And it was surprising how quick it all came together and how the opportunity came about. Just the way that we made the race, too. I mean, you know, it was the last 100 feet, and we were able to get ahead of Alan Sadler there. And I don't know if I was more excited or relieved than anything, but, yeah, just a dream come true. Just a fortunate guy that got the opportunity with the sponsors and with the people and GBR and all the people that made it happen for me. And, man, something I'll never forget, that's for sure. You can't take it away from me now. We've been there, done that. And so probably one of the highlights of my career.
And one thing as a Canadian that was really special is when you had the Humboldt Broncos logo on your hood at Bristol Motor Speedway. That was really special.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I didn't do that as a publicity stunt or anything like that. I mean, I'm a hockey player, and you know, rode the buses and done the same thing that those kids were doing, and it just sucks. It's one of those tragedies that happen, unfortunately, and it's what we have to deal with. And just you know, showing my support and that we were thinking about them. And we didn't have any sponsors on the car, and I thought, what the heck, let's throw that on there and just try to, you know, raise some more awareness. And there's a lot of people there asking questions, and obviously had heard about it and so on, and you know, a small community like that is just a huge blow, and they've done very well to rebound from it. And I'm sure they'll never fully recover from that, but any little thing that we could do to help them was good, and I was very honored to be able to carry that. And, you know, I wish we would have ran a little bit better, but we were there doing it, and just trying to show the support to the people that lost loved ones and so on. It just it hit close to home, I think, for all of Canada.
Absolutely. Is there any plans to do any other runs in the trucks or Xfinity or Cup this year?
Yeah, it looks like it. I'll be running the truck race, I do believe, at CTMP at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, and when we're there with the Pinty's cars. And then I think I've got 3 more Cup races lined up as well near the end of the season when we're done. Trying to concentrate on this Pinty's deal, and get this Castro Edge Dodge back in the victory lane. That's where it's got to be. And I mean, it's not from lack of trying. It's just a tough series. There's a lot of great competitors. There's a lot of great teams. And, you know, it's tough to win these deals. So we're going to try our best here in the next few races and see if we can't move ourselves back up in championship contention.
Let's talk about Riverside. You have won the Bumper to Bumper 300 twice. It's a very unique track. What did you think the first couple times you raced here?
Oh, the very first time I was there, I fell in love with it. I mean, it's a racer's racetrack, and obviously I get friends with Donald and the Chisholms, and I mean, what a facility. It's I wish it was in my backyard, not 25 hours away, but I mean, what a racetrack. It's people obviously compare it to a mini Bristol. I don't usually do that because it's a unique racetrack. It's kind of one of its own. It's fast, it's high banked, it's crazy. You can race two wide, sometimes three wide, and it's just an awesome racetrack to be able to go there and put on a good show for the fans. And there's always a lot of fans there too, which is a lot of fun.
What does it take to win at Riverside with your two different wins in 2010 and 2012?
You know, it's you gotta have a good car. I mean, you gotta have something that turns real good and obviously has forward drive. With the banking, it sometimes fools you in practice. You think you got a really good car, and, you know, after 10, 15 laps, the thing starts going away on you. So you've really got to try to have a good balance, and I think the big thing is if you can roll the center there and have a car that turns well, you'll be really fast, and that's what we've had in the past, and hopefully we can get back there again this year.
With your car, I wanted to ask this, because yourself and Andrew's cars are very unique. We haven't seen this kind of sponsorship style in any of the other series. Castrol edges on the side of the car and the numbers on the quarter panel. How did that come to be?
Well, NASCAR allowed us to do that. It gives us more real estate to work with. I think it's something different. And when I first did it, I'll be dead honest with you, I thought it looked crazy. I didn't like it. I was like, man, let's just change it back. But the sponsors loved it. Now that I have grown to like it, I mean, I love it now. I mean, it just gives you a way more bigger billboard for your sponsor. And, you know, everybody knows your number anyways, but we're trying to get the name out there the best we can. It reads better on TV. And it was a nice move and a good move by NASCAR on my, you know, on my behalf. And obviously the K&N series and some of the other series are doing it as well. And quite a few people are taking advantage of it. I mean, I still like the traditional number on the door, but I've really grown to like this one too. So, you know, it's basically for the sponsors. It gives them more real estate and a bigger name and easier to see that thing when it's on TV.
Well, that Castrol Edge Dodge will be back at Riverside International Speedway in just a little bit. You have started every Pinty's race since the start of the series. What do you got to do to get another win in your record books?
Oh, man, I wish I knew the answer because we've been trying our butts off. But, I mean, we just got to keep working at it. You got to have a good car there, like I say. I mean, you got to have a car that turns the center and has good drive off. And we got some ideas that we're going to try for there. And hopefully we get there in practice. And the thing comes off the trailer pretty good and we can make some small adjustments. Same thing, too. It's a reliability race, too. There's 300 laps there. That's a lot of laps, and it's hard on equipment. High speed, fast racetrack, and you got to have your equipment right, too. So hopefully we're there at lap 300, battling for the win.
Why should a fan come out to watch the Bumper to Bumper 300, DJ?
It's going to be one of the best races you'll see there. I mean, obviously they put on great shows and late models and so on, but just Riverside Speedway itself is such a spectacle, and it's such a great place to go, and, you know, the people are so friendly. I just love meeting the people that are there. And I mean, it'll be a short track battle. I bet you there'll be 18 to 20 cars there, and there'll be some beating and banging. I'm sure there'll be some feelings hurt by the end of it, and it'll be a good show for the fans. It usually is there, and I think pretty much the last three or four races have come down to the final few laps there, and people stick it out and get to see a great show for the checkered flag.
You're looking to make it three wins at Riverside coming up August 17th. DJ Kennington, the NASCAR Pinty's crew, will be there. DJ, appreciate the little chat here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope to see everybody there.
Weekend pass tickets for the Bumper to Bumper 300 weekend on August 16th and 17th are available now at riversidespeedway.ca. The weekend's going to kick off on Friday night with the Henry's Auto Pro 100 for the Napa Sportsman Series, and we'll also see for the first time in 2019 the Passion Flooring and Interiors East Coast Mini Stock Tour. On Saturday, August 17th, we'll have the Maritime League of Legends back in town, and then it's the NASCAR Pinty Series Bumper to Bumper 300. And remember, during practice and qualifying for the Bumper to Bumper 300, we have the Rev It Up at Riverside Show and Shine. More details online at riversidespeedway.ca, and with the weekend pass, it offers you a discount, but single-day tickets will be available. After the bumper-to-bumper 300 weekend, we have the final race for 2019 at Riverside International Speedway. Saturday, September 7th, the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour comes back to Riverside with the Lucas Oil 150. Along with the Pro Stocks, we'll have the Napa Sportsman Series with their last race at Riverside and the Passion Flooring and Interiors East Coast Mini Stock Tour. Time flies when you're having fun. Get ticket details at riversidespeedway.ca. Victory Laps is part of the 50th anniversary celebrations for Riverside International Speedway, part of Throwback Thursday on Facebook and on Twitter. We pay tribute to drivers. We have trivia. We have cool photos and video, and of course, victory laps. If you have photos from the years 1969 up to 1989, even better if you have video, we'd love to see them. Get in touch with us at info@riversidespeedway.ca. Well, the checkered flag is waving, and soon enough, the green flag will be waving at the bumper-to-bumper 300 weekend. I'm Dylan Langell. Thank you for listening to Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for Riverside International Speedway.